Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
Welcome, welcome, and thank you for joining me this evening. We are here tonight to celebrate once again truth flowing from the kingdom, truth flowing from the Supreme Court. Now, I'm talking about the Supreme Court. This week, we heard news from the body of men and women who sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. And that news was great news on all levels, especially from the level of the Supreme Court above us and in us and around us. But it was a it's a time for us to think about what can we create now. So that's why we're doing a show tonight on creating an empowering healthcare system, because the message for me was clear from the Supreme Court this week. Now, if you don't know what happened in the Supreme Court, if you didn't listen to my Friday show where I played the news audio about what the Supreme Court decided on the mandate that this government administration had put out by OSHA, forcing people to take a jab if they worked in certain corporations over 100 people. But the Supreme Court blocked that and said, no, you're overreaching your authority, OSHA, or occupational safety, whatever. You're overreaching your authority by trying to force people to take a vaccination to keep their J-O-B. So many people can now be free on some level to tell their employers, no, I'm not taking the jab, and you can't force me because the Supreme Court has spoken, okay? So on one level, that was just amazing freedom news for some people who have a J-O-B and they didn't want to get the jab. Now, on the other hand, the Supreme Court, by a vote of I don't know how many, decided that, we're going to keep the mandate for healthcare workers. Healthcare workers, all you nurses and doctors, and anyone working for an institution that provides, quote, sick care / healthcare, more sick care than anything, you're going to have to get the jab. So many people, the reality is, many people have already left their jobs because of this mandate. So I see this is a sign of the collapse of the sick care system, of doctors and their drugs and hospitals and their palliative care, giving more drugs and killing people. You know, iatrogenic medicine was at one time the number one cause of death in the United States. And some people don't even know what iatrogenic medicine is. So this is the reason one of the reasons I see why this system has to go. So I'm going to play first and foremost, I saw this video or this audio in my file. So I'm going to play this audio about iatrogenic medicine, what it is, so we fully understand why this system needs to go, among other reasons, the number of people that are not getting well but are staying in the system. So if I can find that, I'll play it. But here's the truth. When this news came out, I thought, wow, why would they not want healthcare workers? Well, there's a number of reasons that they're saying we should have, I may not be in my file. There's a number of reasons why they're saying that we should have healthcare workers get the jab and get toxins in their body, because they feel that patients are at risk, and then that puts the hospital at risk. And one thing we should be really clear about is hospitals are in the business of making money, right? I mean, how many of you know that hospitals are all about making money? They're really not too interested in getting people well and sending them on their merry way with no need to come back to them. So if we can admit that hospitals and most other organizations, where did that come from? Audio file. Most other organizations are really in the business of getting, are really in the business of just making money. So that's one of the reasons why this news about the healthcare workers need to get the jab, or still getting the mandate to get the job, is good news. It gives us a chance, all of us creative beings. It gives us a chance to create something totally new. and to start over again. Let's see. And to realize that all of this that happened with the Supreme Court was a sign for us that it's time to change. It's time to change the way we do things. So I'm excited about what we can create tonight. And this, I'm saying this is a part one because, this is where we begin to empower ourselves. We're empowering our human souls with a new system that we're going to create together and starting tonight. So I'm looking for all you listeners to participate in this creative process of creating first in ourselves a new healthcare system. It starts with us. I believe it starts with us. If you disagree, feel free to press one or comment. But I think it starts with each individual to create and empower yourselves to be healthier than you have been and to get back to the creator, the source of your health, instead of depending on man and the man's system to keep us healthy. And emergency rooms are great for helping us get out of a crisis, right? I think we all agree that if you've ever been to an emergency room, you kind of rested in that emergency waiting room thinking somebody's going to take care of me, I'll feel better, this pain will go away, this distress will go away. And so we have come to depend on hospitals to help us manage our traumas, our dramas, our pain, whenever we can't do it, right? So now we're at a place, though, that the Supreme Court is speaking to us on both levels. The Supreme Court is saying on the earth level that we want to continue to control the people who are sacrificing their time and effort in hospitals and healthcare institutions. We want to continue to control you by mandating something that pharmaceutical companies have decided is the only solution to a pandemic, plandemic, disease. And so they're going to pressure. In fact, the White House said, well, even though the Supreme Court stated no more mandates for employers, so we're going to still call on those employers to do the right thing and make sure their employees get vaccinated, even though the Supreme Court has spoken. So we're in a place between a rock and a hard place maybe, when the Most High, when the Creator is speaking to many of us that, okay, let's just create our own health care system, starting with meditation, exercise, and fasting. So part one tonight is about meditation, exercise, and fasting. Why those three? Because what we saw in the last 3 years was a bunch of lies and deception telling us, oh, in 2 weeks we'll be done with this, and then the goalpost was moved, oh, in a week in a month, and then moved again and again and again. So now we're in the third year of this, and the jab is still being pushed, and our souls are grieving because why am I in this? Why is this happening to many of us? And I'm excited because with each information piece that comes out from man and his evil plan, it just should motivate us and stimulate us to say, oh, I can do better. I can promote truth about this body. I can promote truth about where I am in my journey. And that's what I would love to hear from you about is, where are you in your health journey, and how can you participate in this new healthcare system? So let me start with meditation. I think if we can create centers of health, come out of the hospital, if you don't feed the hospital system, they're going to collapse because they can't make money if they don't have customers. So think about this. No hospital visits for you all year. Let's try and prevent or eliminate any hospital visits for you for the next year. Try that, or even the next 2 or 3 months if you're one who likes to run to the hospital. Let's try it and cut off their business and their income by you not providing them your insurance information and not providing them an opportunity to give you more drugs. So I want to start with meditation. Meditation should be the first line of menu items we offer in our new system. We're going to teach people how to meditate. We're going to help them. We're going to coach them in the meditation. We're going to do everything we can in this new system to introduce people to the science now. We're not going to just throw it at them. We're going to introduce you to the science. I mean, isn't that what our government has been saying for the last 3 years? This is all about science. This is all about science. Well, there's another side of science that has not been talked about. So we're going to start this evening with meditation for beginners, or is another word, meditation for dummies. Because a lot of friends that I have, a lot of people don't even know how to meditate. They don't know really. They think it's some new age thing, and there's a lot of ignorance about meditation. But this news from the Supreme Court says, get busy creating centers that include meditation, in my opinion. So let's listen. I'm going to be playing audios tonight, as usual, from many guests who are going to teach us about the new healthcare system, true empowering healthcare system that will help you stay out of hospitals, away from medical centers, and give you all the tools you need to keep this vessel of love running smoothly. So let's go into meditation for beginners in case you're new at this.
Today we're going to talk about exactly how to meditate. I'm going to go over everything from where to meditate, what you should do with your body, what you should do with your mind, and even how long you should do it for so you can start reaping some of these benefits. All of the information I'm giving you today is taken from a book that is recommended by just about every meditation forum on the internet, Mindfulness in Plain English. Where should I meditate? Technically, you can meditate anywhere you like because it is an exercise for the mind. You can meditate sitting in a chair, sitting on the floor, and even laying in bed. However, there is an optimal way to meditate. It's best to avoid meditating in bed because you tend to fall asleep. Meditating on the floor with your back straight up is actually considered to be the most formal and beneficial way to meditate, and this is because it keeps you wide awake and allows you to sit for long periods of time. What do I do with my body? The first thing you want to keep in mind when meditating is your feet. A lot of well-seasoned meditators will preach about how your feet need to be on top of each other. However, for the majority of people who are beginners, it's perfectly fine to have them crisscrossed on top of each other like a pretzel. Your arms are resting on your thighs, your hands rest on top of each other and form a cup shape. Your thumbs can touch, it's up to you. What's important is that your arms feel relaxed. Your back is straight and your head is completely level. Your head is not tilted upwards or downwards, just forward. In terms of what to do with your eyes, you have an option of meditating with your eyes open or with your eyes closed. However, for most beginners, I would recommend you to meditate with your eyes closed as it's easier to focus. If you do choose to meditate with your eyes open, do not focus your eyes on an object in front of you. Instead, look into the distance. How long should I meditate for? Now, before you start your meditation session, you'll want to set an alarm. This is because time tends to feel a lot slower when you first start meditating. So setting an alarm helps prevent a constant need to wonder about how much time is left in the session. For first-time meditators, I'd recommend you start with just 5 minutes on the clock. As you make meditation into a daily practice and get more used to sitting in the meditative position for long periods of time, you can increase the time. Most people recommend meditating between 10 to 20 minutes. What to do during meditation? Here's where it gets tricky. Now, there are many different forms of meditation. Some focus on the things around you. Some involve reciting words in your mind. The one you'll be learning today is one of the most commonly taught forms of meditation, and it's called mindfulness breathing meditation. It's very easy to learn, and it's considered to be just as powerful and insightful as any other form of meditation. The focus of breathing meditation is, well, you guessed it, on your breath. first, you want to make sure that you're breathing through your nose. Then all you have to do is focus all of your attention on your breath. Observe the way the air feels as it flows through your nostrils. Observe the way your breath transitions from inhale to exhale. Observe that little pause between those two actions. Observe every single aspect about the way it feels. Do not judge it. Do not criticize it. Simply observe. What you'll quickly notice is that thoughts will start appearing in your mind and will distract you from this simple, simple task. Ah, what should I cook for dinner? Maybe I should order takeout instead. Wait, I'm trying to lose weight, so I shouldn't, or should I? When you notice your mind wandering like this, simply pull the focus back to the breath. This is how you train your mindfulness muscle. Now, most people who meditate for the first time will find it extremely hard to focus on just the breath for even a couple of seconds. They'll find themselves lost in thought quite often. This is totally normal, so don't criticize yourself if it happens, which it probably will. All you have to do is simply bring your attention back to your breathing. A good trick that I personally use to quickly bring my focus back is to focus all of my attention on the little bridge between inhale and exhale, that little pause where your body transitions during its act of breathing. While meditating, try as hard as possible to avoid moving. Itches and urges to fidget will arise throughout your meditation session. This is normal. This is to be expected. Simply bring your focus back to your breath and the feeling will eventually go away. And that's all there is to it. It's a very simple exercise. What's important to note is how often you work on it and how much time you put into it by making it a habit. You'll notice that you'll be able to have your entire focus on your breath for longer and longer periods of time. Think of this as your mindfulness muscle getting stronger and stronger. How often should I meditate? In order to really start seeing the benefits of meditation, you should meditate on a daily basis. My routine is 10 minutes a day, every single day when I wake up. Some people like to do it twice a day, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, who does it 20 minutes a day when he wakes up and 20 minutes right before he goes to bed. As long as you make it into a daily habit, that is the most important factor. When will I start seeing the benefits? Well, first of all, you have to be doing it on a daily basis. The length of each session also plays a part on how fast you see the benefits. But ultimately, it's hard to say because it really does differ from person to person. Certain people are less mindful in general due to the way they were brought up, so it'll take them a little bit longer to start seeing the benefits. In my personal experience, it took me about a month of meditating every single day before I noticed any benefit myself. I found myself in a better mood overall and was less likely to get consumed by certain negative emotions. As I continued the practice, I noticed more and more benefits along the line. And that's it, guys. Meditation is very simple. It's just the act of making it into a daily habit that is hard. If you guys have any more questions, leave them in the comments below, and I'll try to answer as many of them as possible.
Okay, so that is one man's explanation, what he calls meditation for dummies, beginners. And for those of you who don't meditate, my hope is that that was a fire under you or motivator to get you started. As he said, you can start with 5 minutes a day and raise that and increase that time as you become more and more dedicated and experienced. And just remember the twilight zone we're in. That's what should motivate all of us to do better with our health. The twilight zone is never going to end until we, the people, we, the vessels of love, change and create a new system. Care system is falling. The drug companies are making more and more and more and more money, and it's up to us to stop that flow of cash and energy into drug companies that are offering only one solution. If you sit long enough at YouTube, watch YouTube videos, you will see how they advertise their product over and over again, and no other solutions are given to compare with their drugs. So we're here tonight to start all of us together, unity, creating something new, something that really promotes relevant and spiritual and more soulful health care than the sick care, pharmaceutical drug influence system that we've all been under since childhood and beyond. So let us go to the science of meditation. Some people, oh, well, that's too woo-woo-woo-woo. Well, let's look at what has science proved and researched and investigated to show how powerful and how useful and beneficial meditation is to a certain part of the body, especially.
I'm a very unlikely person. to be a meditation teacher. Very unlikely in the traditional sense of what we think meditation teachers would be. I've been practicing transcendental meditation for 45 years. I'm 64 years old. I started as an 18-year-old at the University of California at Berkeley. I've been teaching it for 42 years. I taught it at a time when you wouldn't even want to tell people that you taught meditation. I go along with this, my Uncle Morty and Uncle Arthur, where 40 years ago, if I told him I taught, and he was a Freudian psychiatrist, and I said, psychoanalyst, and I said, you know, Uncle Morty, I'm teaching meditation. He said, that's crazy. That's a sect. And then 10 years later was, well, that's pretty interesting. I run for an hour on the beach, and then I fall face down into the sand, and that's my meditation. And then, you know, a few years ago, he blasted me for never teaching him to meditate. And that just, Uncle Morty tracks the acceptance and mainstreaming of meditation. So the conventional approach is not working. And the third strategy, thank God, science. Because science has come along and demystified a technique that for me was never mystical. For me, it was always practical, down to earth, no bullshit, a simple thing. I could sit down, learn it in a few hours, sit down, close my eyes, and access a level of rest and relaxation in my body that research shows is deeper than many parts of the deepest part of deep sleep, that reduces cortisol levels by 30 to 40%. Cortisol is a stress hormone. A good night's sleep, maybe 10 to 12%. That increases serotonin, that increases prolactin, that reduces blood pressure, according to the American Heart Association, more effectively than any other relaxation technique, and actually on a par with antihypertensive medication without any hazardous side effects. And most interesting to me, the effect that it has on the brain. Every experience changes the brain. There's a part of the brain, and I'm talking to a lot of people who know this, called the prefrontal cortex, the frontal lobes. It's about the size of your fist. It's right behind your forehead here. And what it does is it's executive functioning. It's the higher self. It governs decision-making, judgment, planning, problem-solving, sense of self, intuition. And you know what takes it offline? Stress, anxiety, fatigue. What they found is that when we sit and meditate, when the active thinking mind settles down, the body takes a profound state of rest, you can see on the EEG machine and you can see it on the brain scans, the neural pathways, the connections between the front of the brain and the back of the brain, and the connections between the left and right hemispheres of the brain, those connections, those neurons fire together. And they say, when the neurons fire together, they wire together. And because of the neuroplasticity of the brain, when we sit and meditate and the brain makes those connections, they last in activity. We maintain it and we make better decisions, better judgment, better planning. We're more ourselves. And it's a natural instinct that we'd like to have some inner calm, some inner stability, some inner clarity, some inner focus, some inner peace. Natural. Two questions. Is there such a thing as an inner? And if so, how do we get there? So in this meditation, transcendental meditation, we hypothesize that there's a level of the mind deep within every one of us, every one of us. That's just a hypothesis. Right now, level of the mind that is already calm, settled, peaceful, wide awake, my own self there, just like the ocean has quiet. And meditation, properly taught and learned, and it's not difficult, and I'd be happy to teach you, because this meditation, you can have all the thoughts, the gotta thoughts you want in the world. It's very difficult to clear the mind of thought. This meditation just allows the active thinking mind to settle down and experience quieter levels of thought and quieter levels of thought. And how do we know that? Because of science, because of the body, because of the deep rest that the body takes. Reduction in rest, oxygen consumption, reduction in cardiac output, across the board. So, everybody, take your left hand and take your three fingers of your left hand and put them on your pulse right there. Now, I'm saying this is not meditation. This is like a health sort of thing. So I don't want you to think, oh, I did some weird meditation with my pulse. That's not that. But this is a lovely thing because it allows our mind to connect with the blood that courses through our body. So close your eyes. It's just going to take a minute. Don't feel weirded out. And just let your attention through your fingers be with your pulse.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
And you can have power to monitor that, to change that, all in your meditation. So we're ready to go to our first break. When we come back, we're going to hear about iatrogenic medicine. I actually found that file. I want to just remind everyone what iatrogenic medical errors are about and why we are wanting to create an empowering, safer, relevant, and soulful healthcare system versus the one that creates iatrogenic medical errors. All right, my executive producer, Naima Latif, is going to take us to the commercials, and we'll be right back after.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Creating. We are the powerful creators of our day to change this twilight zone into paradise. Yes, paradise. If you were here last Sunday, we talked about medbeds. Medbeds is coming into our future where individuals will have free, from the plans I've heard so far, individuals will have free access to these high technology medbeds where you can go and have all your sicknesses and diseases corrected and balanced in one visit. What an exciting thought that would be, to get rid of your insurance, get rid of your dental, everything, and have this MedBed available. But you only get so many visits per year, so in between those visits, you have to maintain your health if you want to stay out of where there may not be any hospitals anymore to treat your sickness. So one of the reasons we're talking about this tonight, of course, with the Supreme Court continuing mandates on healthcare workers, we know it's time to get rid of that system because people are leaving it. They're even calling military personnel into some hospitals, I believe it's New York, to work because of the shortage of doctors and nurses right now. Time for it to go. Do you want to be in a hospital controlled by military personnel? Now, these are military doctors and nurses, I suppose. But they've had so many people exiting the system that they've had to call in the military. These are the changes we're adjusting to and helping us to make better changes and helping us to create something better. Now, if you don't know what iatrogenic medical errors means, here's a little clip on why we need to create a new system.
This is not about shame and blame. This is about changing the game.
Changing the game.
It's well known cancer is the leading cause of death in Canada. It's well known heart disease is the second leading cause of death in Canada.
USA too.
What's not well known, and in fact is a well-kept secret, is that the third leading cause of death in Canada is medical error. Medical error. So if cancer or heart disease doesn't kill you, there's a chance our healthcare system could. One in 18 patients hospitalized in Canada will experience harm that will either kill them or leave them in worse condition than when they went into the hospital. Now, keeping medical errors a secret hasn't been difficult. There is no requirement for medical errors to be reported to any one specific regulatory body. Our healthcare professionals and institutions can deal with harm internally. They can keep the secret. And a lot of patients don't even realize when they've been harmed by our healthcare system. And a lot of patients don't report it. Now, the aviation and mining industries, they are required to report all errors, accidents, and deaths to one specific regulatory body. And because they do, they've been able to collect and analyze data, make the changes necessary to dramatically improve safety in those industries. So don't you think it's time changes were made to our healthcare system to ensure consistent and effective reporting practices were put into place to improve patient safety, to eliminate to eliminate medical errors, the third leading cause of death in our country? I grew up just outside of Toronto, and when I was 15, I became the expert in finding out all the secrets my family kept. I just had to sneak into the living room and hide outside the kitchen door and listen to my mom and my aunties talk while they were having tea or whatever else was in that teacup. They talked all the time about all the sins and all the sinners in our family. So I knew which kid had been caught smoking. And I knew which cousin was having sex. Hell, I knew the bra size of all my aunties. But one day, I got more than I bargained for. My Auntie Doreen burst out in tears and told my mother she was afraid of turning 40. She was afraid of turning 40 because she was afraid of dying of a heart attack like their mother did when she turned 40. That was news to me. And that had nothing to do with sin, cigarettes, or sex. It was my mom, though, that should have been afraid. It was my mom who died later that year of a heart attack at the age of 36. Now, I never knew why my mom and my grandmother died of heart attacks so young. Death wasn't a topic discussed in front of children. And in those days, we didn't question authority. Not our parents, not our teachers, not our priest, and definitely not our doctor. But it wasn't hard for me to figure out that whatever it was that killed my mom and grandmother, it was hereditary. This was genetic. And it wasn't hard to figure out that this was not a secret that should be kept. This needed to be shared with our doctors. Now, when I finally turned 40, I threw a huge party to celebrate the fact that I had survived the family curse. But it didn't last very long. Because when I turned 42, I got the flu. And my health started to deteriorate. I became exhausted all the time. But my doctor could not find anything wrong. Her rationale was that I worked too much. But within 6 months, I had packed on 25 pounds and started to sweat like crazy. Now, I didn't weigh 100 pounds until I was 30 years old. So putting on that much weight in such a short amount of time threw up some red flags. So the doctor referred me to a gynecologist. Because, you know, when in doubt, blame your period, right? But there was nothing gynecologically wrong with me. Then my chest got very congested, and it wouldn't clear up. It got so bad, you could hear me gurgle when I talked, but my doctor couldn't find anything wrong. So she sent me to an allergist. Tests were all negative. When my son's 7th birthday rolled around, I had been going back and forth to doctors for 8 months without any answers, and I was getting sicker. I didn't have enough strength or breath to help Joey blow the birthday candles out on his cake. The following week, I went to the doctor 3 times. Sure, I had pneumonia. Something was wrong, but she couldn't find anything wrong. So in desperation, I asked her to send me for a chest x-ray. And that's when I got the answer. I was in heart failure. At emergency, they told me my heart was enlarged, my lungs were full of fluids, my blood pressure was skyrocketing, and my resting heart rate was well over 200 beats a minute. They were surprised I had not gone into cardiac arrest, and had I gone into cardiac arrest, I would have died. I know now my doctor did not follow the standards of practice. I mean, what the hell? How did she miss all the signs of congestive heart failure? And had she even taken into account my deadly family heart history? Because if she had, certainly to God, she would have been sending me to a cardiologist, not a gynecologist. But at the time, I didn't question her authority. And I didn't report it. Mistake. I couldn't worry about how this had happened to me. I needed to focus on how I was going to recover. I did not want my son to lose his mom like I lost mine and like she lost hers. So once I had been stabilized, the hospital referred me to a cardiologist who ran tests and told me the flu virus had gone into my heart and caused some damage, which is likely why my mother and grandmother had both died, because, yes, in fact, it is genetic. So the game plan was to slow my heart down, lower my blood pressure with medications, and put me to bed for 1 year to rest my heart so it could heal. And it worked. Within 2 years, I had made a full recovery, rare as it was, but it didn't last very long. When the cardiologist instructed my doctor to start tapering my medications, my doctor didn't monitor my blood pressure properly and took down my medications too low, too fast, and I went into heart failure again. This time I did not make a full recovery. And along with losing my health, I lost my business and eventually my marriage. This time, I called the College of Physicians and Surgeons, and I reported all the mistakes. It's not about shame and blame. It's about changing the game. I needed answers. I needed a new doctor. And I needed to know that something would get done to ensure nobody else was put through what I went through. See, if we don't report medical errors, who's going to know about them? The aviation and mining industries have shown us that proper reporting practices results in improved safety. It's time to transform our healthcare culture from one of secrecy to one of transparency. Health Canada and the World Health Organization have committed to making patient safety a priority. They have opened the doors for patients to have their voices heard, for patients to be part of the change. This is our chance to speak up and force that change right now. We are all patients. Don't wait until you or one of your loved ones have been harmed by our healthcare system to advocate for patient safety. The most important step you need to take is to become proactive in your own healthcare and in the healthcare of your loved ones. And if you do experience harm, you must report it. It's not about shame and blame. This is about changing the game.
Now, that's just one woman's story. I love her story, though, because it just involves so much history. And she's one of those people who believes it's all in the genes, it's all in the genes. But when you listen to Bruce Lipton and other scientists who are into epigenetics above the genes, we know that it's lifestyle, it's emotions, and so much more. So that we are talking tonight about taking that empowering step, creating a new system, because the Supreme Court spoke on one level and the Supreme Court is speaking, continuing to speak on the higher level that says it's time for us to work on creating, empowering ourselves, bringing a relevant system that will keep us all in better health. And I want to play one more video. It's a very short 3 minutes on the scientific power of meditation before we go to exercise and fasting. This is a part one. For those of you just joining us, we're giving a part one to creating a empowering healthcare system after the Supreme Court decided, we're going to still push jabs and vaccines on the healthcare workers. And then what they're doing is killing them and driving them away. So I see the fall of the healthcare system going in a rapid pace this year, because we have to, if we want to see fewer people die, we have to stop putting our money into a broken, sick care system. And here is the scientific power of meditation, why it's necessary, why it works, and much.
For thousands of years, people have practiced meditation for spiritual, emotional, and physical well-being. But from a scientific perspective, how exactly does meditating affect your body? Does it really do anything? It all starts in the brain. During meditation, brain scans see increased activity in regions directly correlated with decreased anxiety and depression, along with increased pain tolerance. The default mode network, in particular, is activated when one's mind is at rest and not focusing on the outside world, and has been found to improve memory, self-awareness, and goal setting. Want to be more caring to your friends and family? When scientists compared the brains of Buddhist monks to new meditators, they found the region of the brain associated with empathy to be much more pronounced in the monks. It also literally changes your brain waves, and we can measure these frequencies. Meditators have higher levels of alpha waves, which have been shown to reduce feelings of negative mood, tension, sadness, and anger. And if that wasn't enough, it also physically changes our brain shape and size. Studies found that after 8 weeks of a meditation program, gray matter was more dense in areas associated with learning, memory processing, and emotion regulation. And yet the amygdala, which deals with stress, blood pressure, and fear, had decreased gray matter. When we look at the entire body, not only do we see decreased blood pressure, but it can also increase the variability of your heart rate. And while this may sound harmful, it actually plays a critical role in properly transporting oxygen and carbon dioxide throughout your body. Think you're getting sick? In a study where both meditators and non-meditators were given the flu virus, meditators were able to produce a greater number of antibodies and had increased immune function. If we go a little deeper, we can even see changes on a cellular level. Your chromosomes have protective protein complexes called telomeres, which help reduce damage to your DNA and lower cell death. And a shortened telomere length has been linked to several diseases such as cardiovascular disease, diabetes, Alzheimer's, and cancer. Amazingly, when cancer survivors completed a meditation program, their bodies showed significant increases in telomere length. It's believed that psychological intervention, particularly decreasing stress, has a direct effect on the enzyme telomerase, which has been shown to counteract shortening by adding DNA to the shrinking telomeres. Of course, meditation is not a substitute for other medical advice or a healthy lifestyle. We don't want you leaving this video thinking it will cure cancer. But much like hitting the gym can grow your muscles and increase your overall health, it seems that meditation may be a way of working out your brain with extra health benefits. And since your brain controls, well, all of you, why not relax and say, every once in a while. And if you like working out your brain, be sure to get our ASAP Science book, which is now available for pre-sale at asapscience.com/book. We've got answers to your most asked burning questions, persistent rumors, and unexplained phenomenon. Whether you're a huge science fan or just a curious mind, the book has something for everyone, and we're so excited for you.
So, as you heard, meditation also benefits the brain. How about that? The woman whose testimony you heard before, it was interesting to hear that she had her parents, both her mother, I think, and her grandmother died at a very early age, and she had a heart attack and all the health problems she had. I wonder if she had meditation in her regimen of things to do to control, manage the stress in her life. And as you heard, meditation reduces blood pressure. So we look at genes as a factor in most diseases, and what the reality or the truth is, lifestyle of your parents, your grandparents, if it continues the same stress level, the same non-meditative lifestyle can produce the same diseases that your grandparents and your mother and father had. So that's why tonight we together want to create the plan for a new empowering healthcare system as the old one is falling apart very quickly. As the government wants to continue to mandate these jabs and chemicals, you look at the old sick care system that has been full of drug administration, drug pushing, and bandaging wounds and healing broken bones and all that. More drugs. We're looking at a new system that will promote meditation, exercise, fasting, and listening and validating each other, and we might call them green centers, especially since the new study says that CBD and all the cannabidiols and hemp plant features are wonderful ways to prevent any virus from getting into your cells. The best news this week is that another plant, another plant in the kingdom is able to help your body prevent disease or sickness. So let's go to the phone. I believe we have Brother Kwame Sunhorse raised his hand. So let's hear what our Brother Kwame has to say about building an empowering healthcare system. Welcome, Brother. How are you?
Grateful, and thank you, Sister Viata. And I came in a little late, and you were playing the tape of the woman about her mother. But you went on to play in the part in dealing with the meditation, and but you spoke of Bruce Lipton. And Bruce Lipton, like you said, he deals with the genes. And what he's learned is that she was looking at the woman that spoke first was looking at the genetics. And what Bruce Lipton had discovered was is that we can reprogram our genes. The epigenetics is that we can reprogram and through meditation, but in the part of, it does with the brain cells and the gray matter. But if you study heart math and global consciousness, we find out that the heart, when you do the meditation, the heart is frequencies 550 hertz higher than the human brain, and it emits out because they've even done studies once in Washington, D.C., when it was the crime capital. They were able to take 25 people, sit there in the park and do a meditation and focus the heart energy on love, and it changed the whole area of D.C., and crime went down. And so what we're seeing is that if we overstand that when we do as she was told to do by the doctor that told her to stand dead for 2 years and do that part of her the thing is that we can change the frequency of, and these are the ways in which they're trying to infect us with these alternate genes in order for us, as we're moving into a higher frequency of genetically, our DNA and the activation of the shift in the planet and the shift in our solar system is shifting the human development. And so what they're doing is attempting to alter this, because what they're doing is they're transmitting a frequency that's causing a distortion in the human body. And what we're now able and looking at doing is that coming back to nature and all of these new ways in which to deal with the environment and our bodies and the environment, the overground railroad, the oasis, the diet, all of this is changing the whole human consciousness. And this is the challenge, because that human consciousness that we're moving into from a Homo sapien to a Homo spiritus is into a way that they do not want to see them being able to lose control of the human development.
Well, thank you, Brother Kwame. And, I want to ask you a question. Think about during the break, or I want your answer. When the Supreme Court handed down their decision, what was your thought about the fact that they wanted, why they, you know, on another level, why they decided to keep the mandate for a certain population or sector of the public? We're going to go to a break, but if you could think about that, why that happened, because some people were really confused about that, and I was like, yeah, this is great news, but then some people were saying, oh, this is terrible news, and I thought, no, I don't think it's terrible, but we want to know from you,
unmuted.
What did you think about that decision, why it was split the way it was? But Naeem is going to go to the commercials, and we'll be right back. Thank you, Naeem.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naeem Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naeem Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hypes, just down to earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, Go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
About we are creating an empowering healthcare system today. With all of you present and those of you coming in the future, we're going to create something new and exciting and beneficial and relevant and empowering. Because this week when the Supreme Court made their decisions and brought forth two different decisions, I thought that was a red or green light to push us into creating something better, because people have been leaving the healthcare system all last year because of these jabs and these mandates. And some people were actually confused about that. And I thought, wow, this is a green light. Let's get going, because they won't have a system pretty soon at this rate. So, Kwame, what did you think about the Supreme Court's decision this week?
Well, what they did was they showed something where the medical industry and the corporations. This is the two differences, what the Supreme Court decided on OSHA. OSHA mandates and goes in and looks at safety in a business and seeing what that is. The other one was the people that work in the hospital, the emergency responders, the police, the fire department. These people are looked at as they having to be, interacting with people. So what the Supreme Court is that OSHA can't go in and say you have to mandate go into somebody's factory and they got to go into a car factory and say that all your people are mandated, they have to have shots, and you're going to stop the whole industry. They can't go in and do that. So you're looking at corporations, and then you're looking at healthcare service. And this is what the Supreme Court decided on. OSHA is a part of the government and saying mandate, saying that you go in and say that, okay, this is requirement for what you should do, but the people, it's not law. And until they make it law, they can come in and say what that, but people can decide to say, well, I quit, because if they go in and say, okay, we mandate that on this.
To promote is exercise. And there is so much science behind exercise these days that there is no reason that people shouldn't be making this a lifestyle at this point. Because exercise, there's science behind the exercise, and that's what we're going to hear from one of the experts on what is that.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Brain Talks. I'm Deborah Kahn, founder of Being Patient. Today, we're going to talk about a topic a lot of us know is good for us, but we don't necessarily know why, and that is exercise. Joining us now is Dr. Wendy Suzuki. She's a neuroscientist from New York University, and she's dedicated much of her research to understanding how exercise impacts our brains. And we're very glad to have her with us today. Thanks so much, Wendy, for joining us.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, I want to just really get into it because, we were talking before, and I know exercise to me is part of my daily routine. I need to go on my morning run. Otherwise, I don't feel very well. But what exactly do we know as what's happening in our brains when we do exercise?
Yeah. So here's what happens when you go on your morning run. Exercise, there are immediate effects on the brain. And the immediate thing that it's doing is it's changing the neurochemical bath that your brain is bathing in. I like to call it a neurochemical bubble bath that you are creating with exercise, because it is increasing positive things like serotonin and dopamine that are making you feel good, that good mood feeling, neurotransmitters. Noradrenaline is helping your memory. Endorphins, which is the brain's endogenous morphine that is helping you withstand the pain that you might be feeling from the run, because there is stress on your body as you run. And in the long term, what you're getting is, there's more immediate effects. The other immediate effect, what happens right after you run, is that your prefrontal cortex right behind your forehead is frankly working better. Prefrontal cortex is essential for what we call executive functions, ordering things, your focus, your attention. It's involved in decision-making. Those things work better. We're not exactly sure why. It's probably some of the growth factors that are being enhanced with exercise. The other thing that gets enhanced is your reaction times. You're actually responding generally better and faster to different things. So those are all the immediate effects that everybody can benefit from. And this is typically the maximum benefit comes from your mid-level exercise, whatever, not one that pushes you, that you're so sore that you can't move the next day, but one that you feel really good after. And so, yeah.
Yeah, it did occur to me though. Is this? We know regular exercise is essential to maintaining brain health. But are there long-term positive effects of an exercise routine? So, for example, I went for a run this morning. Am I making my brain more healthy? Down the line, does it have a lasting impact?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, that is probably the most important effect of physical aerobic exercise. Physical exercise, actually, it's both aerobic, and there's some evidence that a non-aerobic resistance training is also beneficial. That is changing the brain's anatomy, physiology, and function. As you continue to exercise, as you change your cardiorespiratory fitness, as your regular physical fitness goes up, your brain strength goes up at the same time. Why? Because of that neurochemical bath, the more you keep those good neurochemicals that include growth factors that are helping new synapses to form. The other exciting thing that people don't realize is that those growth factors are actually stimulating the birth of brand new brain cells in a key brain area that I've studied for the last 25 years called the hippocampus, critical for long-term memory. So you can imagine the brain kind of like a muscle. The more you exercise, the more growth factors you have, the more bubble bath kind of inducing chemicals you make, and the bigger your hippocampus is, because if you have more cells, the bigger your prefrontal cortex is, because you have more synapses up there, and the axons get they work better because they have more insulation around them. You are literally re-sculpting your brain with exercise.
Is there an age, though, that we lose the ability to add brain cells? Or as long as we're exercising and treating our brains well, or our bodies, I should say, and therefore impacting our brain, is there an age, really, where that just stops because we're getting older and everything's starting to decline?
Absolutely not. And the great news is that studies have shown that even older people, 75 and over, that have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's dementia, they can benefit from a 3-month exercise regimen. So increase their exercise, and you see the effect on their daily dementia score. Everybody else that didn't get exercise, their dementia score is going up and up and up, higher and higher levels of dementia. Again, these are older people that have already been diagnosed. If you go on your exercise regime, their dementia score actually decreased. That says to me that you're never too old to benefit. You also asked me specifically about neurogenesis. Is there an age where that drops off? Well, lots of evidence suggests that the older you are, the less neurogenesis that you have. But that study that I just quoted says that maybe, you know, neurogenesis isn't every part of the explanation, that you can still benefit even if you're over 75 and may have very little neurogenesis. Why? Because you're still stimulating all those good neurochemicals every single time you exercise.
So just give us a little bit of background on the development of the brain. I know, you know, especially the frontal cortex area, we're developing it up until we're about 20.
So I think we get the idea that number one benefit from promoting exercise in our new healthcare system is the brain health improves. That is just really exciting for me to think about when this current system, I was married to a man for 40 years, and every time he went to the doctor, all he got was a new prescription or renew the same prescription. But this doctor never encouraged him to exercise. I would ask him, well, what'd your doctor say? Oh, he just said, I'm doing good and keep up. And he never exercised, and he got obese in the meantime, and he was on more medications, different medications. That one wasn't working. So I watched the pattern of going to doctors who don't emphasize exercise or a change in the lifestyle. And as you just heard, the number one benefit for any type of exercise program is the brain. Now, my favorite exercise is yoga. So I thought, well, we need to, if we're going to promote this in our new healthcare system or expanded healthcare system, I should say, because we already have people in these fields promoting this, but we're going to expand it if everyone can work together and first work on yourself. That's fly. Let's fly. First, love yourself, and then let's continue to share this idea of getting out of the sick care system and doing the things we're going to outline for us every week to bring the body into perfect harmony. So science of yoga. Let's listen to a few minutes on the science of yoga in case you're not there yet. If maybe you like running and walking, but there's so many different types of exercise. Yoga is my favorite. So I want to just bring in the science of this practice for some people who may think it's something demonic or not of the creator. Let's just look at the science.
This is an ancient Indian dude with far too much time on his hands. And these guys are cutting-edge pioneering brain scientists. Now, what could they possibly have in common? Welcome to The Science of Yoga and What It Means to Us, Part 1. Let's go back thousands of years to the ancient world. The first mystics would leave their towns, villages, and everyday distractions to find solace in the forest. There, in isolation, they studied their own inner experience. As they looked within, what they found was a myriad of thoughts and emotions, just like most people would. And also, like most people, these thoughts seemed to cause anxiety and seemed to serve no real practical purpose. But with vigilant observation, the mystics found that when they stopped feeding their thoughts, they started to get quieter and quieter. They were quite literally changing their state of mind from the inside out. The mystics in India called this practice vipassana, which means clear seeing. Today, we call it meditation. Now, fast forward to the early 2000s. Scientists studying the brain and the effect of brain exercises started to make some surprising discoveries. Brain science was still in its infancy. And in fact, up until late into the 20th century, it was still thought that the brain was solid, like concrete, unable to change in its structure. But then, they discovered a phenomenon called brain plasticity. It seemed the brain could actually change. It could be shaped and rewired by exercise. And guess what they found had the power to cause structural changes? Yep, meditation. Several studies found a whole host of structural changes in the brains of people who meditated. Here are some of the changes they found. The default mode network, which could stimulate wandering and aimless thought grooves, was quietened down. The amygdala, which processes fear and anxiety, reduced in size and activity. Gray matter in the sensory regions of the brain increased, which in turn enhanced sense perception. These were startling discoveries, and it became clear that there was something to this ancient practice after all. But it's not just neuroscience. The field of psychology also owes some recent developments to this Eastern philosophy. The mystics of old times claimed this simple fact. With regular insight, you'll see that your thoughts are not real. And the recent success of cognitive talk therapy uses this exact same strategy. The subject learns to see the falseness of their own repetitive thinking. They are simply an interpretation of what is going on, not the actuality of what's going on. So, what's the difference, you might ask? Well, say someone next to you makes a sarcastic remark. This may trigger you to start thinking about a number of possible explanations, and they could all be completely false. For example, she did that on purpose. Everyone does this to me. They're all planning to keep me down, etc. See how these thoughts lead to other thoughts which multiply with each other? The philosophy of Vipassana is to see that these thoughts are nothing more than stories in your head. And as you get better, they stop multiplying so quickly. But don't be disheartened. It takes practice. By the way, you don't necessarily have to look like a yogi or sit like a pretzel to meditate. So whether it's breathing meditation, watching meditation, dancing or fishing meditation, whatever clears your mind is a great place to start. All of these techniques contribute.
So whether you're running or walking or bicycling or sitting, exercise, stretching your muscles in different yoga positions, I think it's clear, or we can conclude, that the brain is the part of the body that gets the most benefit from these exercises, as well as all the joints and muscles and other organs that feel the vibration of sitting and breathing and meditating in these postures. So we have Kwame Sunhorse had a question. Your mic is open.
Okay, you're introducing this, and I'm wondering, has there been studies now that, okay, yoga, meditation, exercise, and these things to do, is there a study saying people that do it with mask and people that do it without mask, is there been any study as to the difference in what happens to the person that's having to wear a mask and he's running and jogging wearing a mask, and the person is jogging and not wearing a mask, by the intake of oxygen exchange from wearing that covering to a person that's running in nature that's not wearing a mask, and a person that's meditating and doing a meditation and doing a meditation with a mask on as a person doing a meditation and breathing without a mask. Are there studies yet have that been done?
Of course. There have been in the last 3 years since this mask Twilight Zone started, there have been numerous studies on masks. That's one of the reasons I began to really get strong in my opinion about not wearing a mask. The answer is yes. There have been lots of studies. Of course, we're not going to hear it from the mainstream media. We're not going to hear it from our government. But in Florida, our governor had a panel of experts talking about masks, talking about all kinds of aspects of the corona madness pandemic. And that is why our governor of Florida came to the conclusion that he was not going to enforce any mandates in this state. So we can go back to the beginning of this. I would say 2020 was the start when I started hearing about some of the research that people were doing on different types of masks and whether they were effective or not. And, of course, the popular comparison to masks became wearing a mask is like having a chain, putting up a chain link fence to keep mosquitoes out. The conclusion was it's not effective. And if people, here's the other thing. I think it was I don't know if it was Bruce Lipton or I think it was someone else who did a study. Someone did a study on how the bacteria, it was actually Mr. Fauci. Back in during some type of pandemic in the past, they did a study that showed the cause of the, I think it was the Spanish flu, that Fauci and company did a study and found out the cause of the Spanish flu sicknesses was pneumonia caused by bacteria maintaining itself in the mouth and reaching the lungs because of mask wearing. This is actually a study that Fauci headed or was conducting during the Spanish flu. So, yeah, answer to your question is yes, of course there have been studies, but it's not getting out to the public.
And the reason I'm saying that, because in that what you shared with us, they didn't speak of mask and no mask.
Well, no, we're talking about the science behind these
Yeah, I'm overstanding it, but in the actuality of it is that you're breathing, and this is what they're talking about, the stimulate of you breathing in and exercising. That's what exercise is for, so it's to pump up the heart to get more blood and oxygen into the lungs. And if you're wearing a mask, there's a comparison of a lack as a person wearing one, that's a lack of person not wearing one. That's that I have to do my own finding out to see what that part of it is, but I can see that. But even in doing meditation, you know, to sit and doing in a deep meditation and breathing, would it be better not to, if you're meditating at home, then you don't need a mask. But if you're in a class, I mean, if you're in a meditation in a ashram and y'all doing meditation, the mask would be, I don't know. That's just my feeling with it right now.
Mask would interfere with the benefit that you're going to be getting by inhaling and exhaling. Yeah, the mask is going to interfere, or I would say reduce the benefits of your exercise or your meditation.
And that's what I'm sharing, and that's why it has to be specific in saying is that, but I think there is some legal ramifications with all of this thing about masks. If you was to go and say that, oh, you causing people to get infected because you tell them don't wear the mask to do their exercise. Six one half dozen the other.
Well, let me just, since you mentioned legal ramifications, I was going to bring this up at the end of the show, but since before we go to the break, I want to give you an update on the legal work being done on this crimes against humanity by some 50 lawyers, I believe it's up to now, working. One lawyer is out from Germany. His name, let's see what his name is, Rainer Fulmich. I don't know if you've heard of him, German attorney, who's leading the crimes against humanity civil class act. Well, it's kind of a class action suit. They can't do that in Germany, but he's got 50 attorneys all over the world working on this class action suit of sort, crimes against humanity. Now, this is the latest that they found. A guy named Mike Yeardon, who was a former former vice president of Pfizer, of all companies. This guy is now a whistleblower. He worked for Pfizer for 36 years. And what he has done was accumulated data and statistics on certain lots or certain lots of vaccines that these companies make, Pfizer, Moderna, and Johnson & Johnson. Those are the three companies that he's been working with. And what they have found, this Mike Yeardon, who is a whistleblower from former Pfizer VP, what he found was certain lots that were used didn't bring harm to people at all, and then certain other lots were lethal doses, causing what they conclude direct intention to reduce the population and kill people. So this is just one of the things they've come up with in their research, in their putting together a case that will show intention to harm in this lawsuit against these manufacturers and these Fauci, all of these people involved. And so far, what they find, some lots in two states, harmless, were used in two states. And then there were 32 to 36 other states in the United States that received lethal doses. So this is the evidence that they're putting together to bring a lawsuit to this whole corona madness and pandemic to show intention to harm. And it's actually
being discovered as they gather all this data, that they are intentionally wanting to kill people because they have lethal doses being put out. Now, I suggest that even with this information, we still have a choice to override what people have been receiving in their bodies. If you make a choice to change your lifestyle, make choices about exercising, meditation, and taking in new substances. My son and I were having a discussion about cannabis, how he seems to think that the reason he has not been tested positive at all, even though he had a Johnson & Johnson vaccine, is because he has been indulging in cannabis in all forms. And I'm not going to reveal which one, but you know which one. And he has been stayed healthy. He has been taking the gumdrops, the whatever they, I mean, he's been ordering all kinds of different products for cannabis, and he has not even tested positive, even though his daughter had it at one time in last year. And so we can look at the choices that we make to come out of this system will more than likely benefit not even getting a virus, and especially not maybe having harm to you, even if you've had the injection. I don't have any proof of that, but with the information that this attorney group is putting together, there's definitely an intention to harm people, to kill people, and reduce the population. But there's also a Supreme Court in the heavens that tells us that we can make, if we make different choices, that it's very possible that we can avoid at least suffering, maybe, and maybe even death. So I'm going to take a phone call. Let me see. No, Naima's ready for the commercials. When we come back from the commercials, I have a caller, 773-487. We will take your call right after
unmuted.
The commercials. Thank you. Thank you, Naima. Your mic's open.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating and mindful conversations on higher learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness sessions on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Inviting you and encouraging you to begin to create your own empowering healthcare system in your communities. But your first community is yourself. Let's fly, the acronym FLY, First Love Yourself, is where you create the first empowering healthcare system right here in this body. And it starts with educating yourself, being mindful about all the ways that you can balance this temple. We do that every Friday morning. I bring you information and guests who teach us how to balance this body, how to create a empowering system of love in this vessel of love. So we're just here tonight following through, continuing the show on Friday where we talked about how to empower your body and create a more healthy homeostasis situation in the body. And now tonight we want to encourage you, introduce you to an idea that since the Supreme Court has said they're going to continue mandates with healthcare workers, then we have to get out of that system if you want to avoid the intention going on with these attorneys and with these pharmaceutical companies to intentionally destroy human life with their jabs, as they're finding out from the evidence. And if you want to get out of that system that is being designed to create fewer people on the planet, then let's do this educational enhancement here tonight and begin to, number one, empower yourself with your body, and then listening to others to help us create this system, green centers. I want to call them green centers. All over the country, in our communities, where people are teaching other people how to take care of their body and stay out of the emergency room unless you got a broken bone or something. So let's go to the phone,
77487. Hey, good evening. This is Prince Cooper James.
Good evening, Prince. How are you?
My family called me that, so it stuck.
Okay.
Hey, I come home, I talk to my friend. I just talked to my auntie. She's 90 years old. And she was so happy to hear from me. One thing, you know me, at the start, I came on a Female Solution, your Soul Purpose show, and I let people know that none of this is real. And I came in with the Holy Spirit vaccine. Yeah, that's all over the world. And that gave me strength to go through these last 2 years and let people know that none of this is real. We gave them permission to run our lives. And through my research, I broke it down. I broke down the masquerade and the psychosis that's going on. If you, those who are listening, if you look at the word COVID, and you flip it backwards, it's called DIVOC, D-I-V-O-C. And if you Google that word, the meaning, it's a Hebrew word in the Bible, it means putting yourself under evil possession. Okay? So now we know this is some satanic and some evil forces behind this that we're giving approval. And people say, I'm not giving no approval. I said, yes, you did. Then you stay at home. Then you mask up. I was like, let's go to the beach. No, COVID is in the water. And now, Lloyd Lightfoot caught COVID. Any symptoms, a scratch of your back, an itch, a sneeze, they call it COVID. So they're implementing a new disease, biological system to control and bring in immigrants so the Democratic Party can win again. And then if you look at the word Omicron, Omicron is a movie from 1963. It's an Italian movie. You can get it in English. It's on YouTube. Google that on YouTube. And it was about an extraterrestrial that they injected with a serum to take over the world. So why do I say this? See, first we have to understand that this is not real. And I tell people, you don't pray not to get sick. You know, people know, I think everybody knows that this is not real. I got the youth out here taking off their masks, freeing themselves. We all know this is not real. It's all mandated. It's called paralyzed terror. And they're going to continue this thing for a couple more years until we say no, stop complying, the company stop complying, and that way the courts are going to listen to the people. See, people, we still have a voice. You know what I'm saying? And our voices shouldn't be like, well, let me look at science. Let me talk about it. No. We have to totally reject this this little game that they're playing, you know, on the world. We have to totally reject and say, you're lying. All this is lies and deception. And you have I said it was an orchestration of drama. You have a whole lot of band members in the orchestration members who are going along with this because they're getting something out of it. They're getting some money, they get some kickbacks or whatever. But we have to understand as taxpayers, as citizens, as global citizens all over the world, we have a voice. And you don't fight back. You just say, stop. Enough is enough. You've made your money. You've made $1 trillion. You came up with all kind of different variants. The Easter Bunny variant coming in March to get another booster shot. But we have to say, no, I'm sorry. There's no laws that's forcing me to do anything. And that is the so-called the Green Collective. You know, that's it. That's the nature of where we should stand right now and say, no. You play your own circus. I tell people, they say, who want to be a clown in the circus? And everybody rolls their hand. What do I got to do? Put a face diaper on. Put a face tank on. Walk around. Don't socialize. You know, we have to say no. Okay? It's real easy to do.
Yes, absolutely. And the one thing, as you're talking, Kofi, I'm thinking about discipline. Discipline, the scriptures say discipline is life. But you have a lot of people who think discipline is too hard to be disciplined. Well, if you have people who go to the military, they're usually more disciplined than the average citizen. But then you have some, even military people, some people get caught up in their addictions, like food, for instance. And that's why tonight we're talking about empowering healthcare systems by focusing on meditation, exercise, and the last one is fasting. This is just part one. I want to introduce the idea that we've got to start.
One important aspect is people are eating much more than what they should eat. Between one meal and the next meal, there must be an 8-hour space. Whatever you have health problems, minimum 50% will go away in 6 weeks' time.
Namaskaram, Sadhguru. Fasting on auspicious days has existed in India since time immemorial, but many Indians believe that it's unscientific and illogical. Until the work on autophagy induced during fasting has been awarded the Nobel Prize. Even I started doing intermittent fasting this year. So why are such beneficial ancient practices being labeled orthodox and then immediately implemented once there is a Western approval?
That's because you don't have the right color of the skin. And I've been talking about this for 40 years, all right?
40 years from Sadhguru.
And I have seen hundreds and thousands of people who just become healthy and well simply because they're not fueling up all the time when the tank is filling. In the yoga center, Everybody eats at 10 o'clock in the morning and at 7 o'clock in the evening. Our lives are very physically active. There are no automobiles inside the ashram. It's a large place. Everybody either walks or cycles. Even if you have to go to the dining hall, it's a kilometer. If you want to go to your workplace, it's half a kilometer, 1 kilometer, like this. All the time, people are physically active. So everybody is very hungry. By the time it's 3:30, 4 o'clock in the evening, they're extremely hungry. But we learn to live with that, because hunger, empty stomach and hunger are two different things. Hunger means your energy levels start dropping. But empty stomach is a good thing. In the yogic sciences, today modern science also is coming in line with this. But what we know by our experience, you will spend $1 billion to come there. Because research is all about how many million dollars. That's how it is. Your body and your brain works at its best only when your stomach is empty. So we always make sure we eat in such a way, how much ever we eat, our stomach must be always empty within 2 to 2.5 hours time maximum. So we go to bed hungry always. People think they cannot sleep. They can sleep. On an average, for 25 years on an average, I slept only 2.5 to 3 hours. These days I'm getting little lazy and sleeping anywhere between 3.5 to 4.5 hours in spite of the level of travel that I have. When I say level of travel, if I say my level of travel in the next few days, you will fall off your chair. Yes? Should I tell you? No, not necessarily. Because in the next 10 days, I'm in 5 different countries doing I don't know how many events, all kinds of events. So you're able to keep this up simply because you don't overeat. It's very, very important. Everybody eats 2 meals. I generally eat only 1 meal, 4:35 in the evening, because I don't like to sit in front of the plate and worry about how much to eat. I like to eat well. So 4:35 in the evening, if I eat a meal, it's only next day. Is this enough? Am I looking okay? Hello? I'm not looking like your patient, isn't it? I'm not going to come to you. Because any correction and purification that needs to happen in the body, your stomach needs to be empty. It's very, very important. Otherwise, the purification on the cellular level will not happen. You pile up things and then you have all kinds of problems. The first thing is inertia in the body. Inertia means there are many levels of inertia if you don't notice all that. The amount of sleep that you have is inertia. All of you, you have come here to live or... Hello? To live, right? Not here, I'm saying into this life. You want to live or...
So that was Sadhguru from India. He travels all over the world. He sleeps very little, eats very little, and he's extremely healthy, it appears. But that's what you learn in this holistic field over and over again. The less you eat, the healthier you can be. And not eating heals diseases. As he said, if the stomach is empty, that's when you have more healing power, when the stomach is empty. When you're eating all the time, all this processed food, 75% of your energy is going to digest that food. So any disease you might have, it's not going to be healed if you're continually eating. And that's one of the main areas we need to change if we're going to create an empowering healthcare system. So let me go to the phones. I believe this is Mama AZ. Your mic is open. How are you this evening?
Grand rising, Dr. V.
Grand evening. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Grateful to be receiving this knowledge and greetings, Brother Kwame. Thank you for having this information on your spot. I sent you Billy Carson.
Yes.
Video. Have you heard of this doctor that they teamed up with, Dr. Daniel Amen?
No. Oh, yeah. Dr. A. Dimer, amen. I have heard of him. Yes.
Okay, well, some things have occurred in my life, and I know it's my mom that put that on my phone for me to pay attention to it, but I get so many interruptions here, Dr. V, I can't fully soak it in, but I did hear Billy Carson is teamed up with Clint Ober, you know, the mat that you got me. Thank you so much. We got to do a show on this. What, have you gotten a chance to even listen to Billy Carson? And I don't know if it's his fiance, his wife, or friend, or whatever, but it doesn't matter. They both went through, I call it mind mapping. It sort of reminds me of the Silva, S-I-L-V-A, with Jose Silva, who created that in Laredo, Texas, I think it is. But anyway, have you heard of this biohack?
I've heard of the term, but not, yeah, and by the way, I did listen to Billy Carson's lecture on religion. That was very, very informative.
Thank you.
But no, I haven't heard of the bio, a lot about the bio tech. Wait a minute, did you say biotech?
Well, it's biohack. Your best life is the name of this video. This what he and the sister is doing. It's interesting because I found out things from Billy Carson. I'm like, whoa. And what they went through, it even found out injuries, why people kill, why some people are set up because of their brain. And I know it's a big piece of change to do this. But Dr. V, we got to have a show on your health and wellness. We got to do this. I don't know how much this costs, but I'm going to look into this, especially now that I know he's connected to Clint Ober, you know, the grounding guy. Anyhow,
yeah.
I meant to bring that up. This is very, very interesting. Thank us. Thank
you
for this show. Thank
you. And this is a team we're building here to start our own healthcare system. And I'm just here as a servant of the Most High to bring you whatever information I have, whatever experience I've had. And it's just a clear sign right now as we come out of this twilight zone that we individually, if we're loving ourselves and flying, first loving yourself, then we can create this new system. It's a new paradigm that's needed. And so together, the unity that, if we put all this together and promote unity and do what is absolutely needed right now to save some lives maybe, and maybe it's even help people make different choices. We can't force anyone, I know, to do anything, but we can certainly inspire people and share with people as we grow in our own knowledge. And I see this new green center as including things like Anipi ceremonies, massage, cookouts or camping, more camping situation, being camping out in nature. We have to include in these green centers opportunities to spend time out in nature overnight in a tent, in a simple environment, because people have complicated their lives with all of these mansions and material goods. And that's part of the sickness that we're seeing, is that people are so attached to not just their phones, their computers, their houses, their cars, that if we don't suggest other opportunities, other ways to detach from this technology and feed the hungry tiger or oh, by the way, this is the year of the tiger in Chinese New Year. You should look into that. It's very interesting what that means as being the year of the tiger. But I think part of it is, again, creating something different, and especially after the last 3 years, what we have seen and observed and experienced, I would hope everyone is highly motivated to create something different. And I'm here every Sunday and evening, Friday morning, and then even tomorrow we have our sister Zelda Monday morning mindfulness educating us about an experience with a woman on regarding heart transplants. So just stay tuned in to the Female Solution every week, every day of the week, and we are going to create this system first within ourselves individually, and then we can share this with so many other people who are ready and willing to come out of this sick care system and do something different this year especially. So I'm looking forward to this new paradigm we're developing. And if you have any other questions, we're about to end. We have only a few minutes left. Press 1 if you'd like to comment or ask a question. And let's do this. Let's do this. Let's create something. We are powerful creators, and we can do this if we just put our minds to it and at least try and be a little more disciplined in this process, because it'll mean, you know, actually meditating and doing exactly what the Creator is leading us, inspiring us to do. And that is to create something different than what we've all been seeing. So we're going to play our farewell greeting now. Let's see. I'm going to open up Naima's. And I want to just say I appreciate everyone coming together to promote self, truth, and love for this new year. We can do it together, bring in an empowering, spiritual, and whole health care system. Let's do it. Bring your suggestions every day to our Facebook page. How you're doing in this area so that we can work together and support you every step of the way.
You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com.
Thank you to all our global family,
www.naimalatif.com.
Especially to our listeners and our Blog Talk family, thank you.
Watch our TV shows, listen to
our
radio,
joining us every week.
Order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution.
Have a beautiful week.
On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Shanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland,
Dziękuję.
France, Merci. Spain,
merci,
gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt,
grazie.
Shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya,
yes.
Asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan,
okay.
Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank
you.
And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.